What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
And on this show, you can also go to adamandeve.com. Use the promo code WHAT, W-H-A-T, and get 50% off of a single item from adamandeve.com. 3 free DVDs, free shipping, and a free mystery gift. It's so mysterious, it might be anything.
Boo, you couldn't come up with something better than that?
I choked.
I still think when we say the promo code, we should have Sheila Broflosky from South Park go, what?
I hate that show.
I do have that clip. I think I'm just going to magically play it every now and then.
No, you're not.
It'll be an editing nightmare. I'll just play it every 30 seconds on the dot.
Wow, I wonder why Jillian's not on the show anymore.
What? What?
So, go to adamandeve.com, use the promo code WHAT to get all that free swag,
what?
50% off a single item. And,
I can't breathe, it hurts so bad.
And then get something. Send Jillian and I a gift. Send us a butt plug or send Jillian some lingerie.
I don't want to share a butt plug with you. That's gross.
We'd clean it.
Sharing is caring, but come on, man. We'd spend so much on shipping.
We'd clean it between uses. God.
Gah.
All right, and this is also going to be the first episode where we introduce our new segment where Jillian and I are arguing about the title, which is basically the dumbest thing that we've come across in the previous week.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I want to call the segment, "That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard." She says it doesn't make sense because then how can every week be the dumbest? And I say, well, because they keep one-upping each other every week. Since you kind of came up with this idea for this segment, what's your first entry into the dumbest thing you've ever heard?
Okay. February 22nd, a Maryland swim team retroactively loses the county title because of bizarre shaving violation. What had happened was some swimmer had shaved on site just before the start of the event, and the National Federation of State High School Associations says that diving, water polo, all they stipulate that athletes can't shave before, during, or after a meet once a team is on site. Why after? I don't really know. They're saying the reason is for the no shaving on site policy is to protect the swimmers from possible blood transmission or in general doing full body shaves in high school locker rooms, which would maximize the possibility of unsafe practices like sharing razors. Still, the rule can seem quite a bit over the top when one considers generally acceptable practices for other sports. No one is telling football, basketball players like that they can't shave before or after a game. What happened was all of the points by said swimmer who did the shaving infraction were lost, and so they went from third place out, like they were not within the first three places. Now, they're saying that the coach was also suspended for the violation, which I totally don't understand. I guess it was a whole, you know, you have to be responsible for the actions of your swimmers.
So, Jillian,
I guess, what?
Would this be a point shaving story?
Ha 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 ha. I wasn't going to make that joke because it was in the thing. But no, anyway. So what it is, they actually had a Swimming World magazine, and the manager essentially was like, well, we've never really heard of points being taken off retroactively except for doping violations where they found out they used drugs. How did they find out that the swimmer shaved if this is happening retroactively? Was it like gossip? Did somebody tattle? Secondly, you're saying because blood trans, you know, fusion or sharing razors, things like that. It's like, whatever, man. If you forgot to shave and you're going to hold up a trophy, I wouldn't want hairy pits either. And it's clearly not for the reasons of unfair advantage because 2 hours to one day, or, you know, like 2 hours before the meet is not going to make any difference right before. So I really don't understand this policy. And then even though it's not an actual rule, we think you're cheating violation, the coach still got suspended for it, which is just so dumb to me because it's not like she was like, okay, girls, this is against the rules, but you're going to shave and we'll have the edge up on them or anything like that. And how the hell was she to know? You know, people, they usually do like the little clean themselves up thing. Like hell, when you go to the fitness centers, they say you're supposed to take a shower before getting in the pool for hygiene purposes. So it's kind of, I just think it's so stupid, number one, that this rule exists if it's not for unfair reasons. Also that the coach would get punished because of it and that they would even go backwards and be like, whoa, wait, you shaved before you went swimming? No, out, she didn't count. It just, it's so stupid. I can't believe it even happened.
Which is why it is...
Da-da-da-da!
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
So that is this week's entry to that. And this is where we're going to encourage some audience participation. You guys, send us stories. It's got to be real news stories, not like gossip or dumb shit like that, of some things you think might go into the dumbest thing you've ever heard category. And if we agree with you, we will use them on the show.
I mean, obviously anything hugely newsworthy, you know, we'll be talking about, but it's just those little small town, like, oh my God, they're doing this type thing. But yeah, we're not exactly positive. I mean, are we sticking with the dumbest thing segment name?
Unless a listener can come up with something better.
Kind of like we talked about it on last show, and we're actually recording the show at midnight, so it's not technically the same day, but I am very busy with production work for the movie for the Cinema Snob site, so I don't think I'll have any time available next week.
Yeah, so we're actually
I am recording
two in one day.
That's right. It's two for one. Technically, it's midnight, so it's the next day.
Aha, uh-huh, but I called you at 11:58.
Hold on. I've got the file here. I don't know, but we didn't start recording until midnight.
I know. So, all right. Our first real story is, it's a sort of still deals with schools. Basically, students tried to poison a teacher.
Twice.
Twice in Fresno, California, just because they didn't like her.
Once, I guess, was in rat poison in coffee, and the other one was rat poison in cupcake icing.
And my question to you, Jillian, is, since you're slightly younger than me, what would possess somebody that, oh, I don't like that teacher, so I'm going to fucking kill them?
Well, apparently this is a new thing that is about since I've been out of school, because I remember hearing all of these crazy kids going at a teacher with a knife type stories. That shit didn't happen in my day, and I feel old now. In my day, we didn't poison our teachers.
We might have peed in the coffee pot, but we didn't poison them.
Yeah, no, I didn't do that either. I mean, I was a straight-A student. I got along with almost all my teachers. Any teachers I didn't get along with, it was just one of those things, you know, you're raised to respect your elders. It came about because some kid had boasted to their parents about how they saved their teacher from drinking the poison. It was later found out that the person who said that was the one who came up with the idea for the first place to poison him or her. They're not releasing a whole lot of details.
That's because all the kids are minors. They're real minors.
Yeah.
We're talking like 10 and 11 years old.
Yeah, I mean, essentially it's just because they didn't like him or her. So I just think, I mean, obviously it's a very cut and dry thing. It's just, you know, two kids being stupid because they didn't like their teacher, much like, you know, the kid that, like, I think it was, what, like third, fourth grade that brought the knife to school and tried to stab the shit out of his teacher. But you're seeing that a lot over the last half a decade or so. Oh my God, I feel so old. And I just don't understand it. And I know I've said this before. I've worked at a school. I saw some crazy shit with little kids and even the parents that would come in and to a private school. So there wasn't a whole lot of some of the things you would encounter in a non-private school. And I remember, you know, kids coming to the principal's office because I'd be in there doing secretarial duties. And, you know, the kids would get in trouble for fighting. The parents would get called in. And you had these parents because, of course, you know, in schools there's fights, things like that. And the rule is always, you know, go get an adult. Don't hit the kids back, things like, you know, things of that sort. And so the parents would get called in. And instead of being concerned that their kid was in a fight, it was more so, no way, man, if someone starts shit with my kid, I tell him you punch his lights out. And I'm like, oh, my God. You know, I know there's some parents out there with the mentality that, you know, well, my kid's going to defend himself. But I've seen the extremes of that mentality as well. And I guess it's just gotten worse. But number one, where the fuck did the kids get an idea like that? Probably television.
Probably. But I can tell you right now, Jillian, I'm one of those parents. I always told my son, if you ever start a fight, you're getting your ass kicked by me. If some kid's getting in your fucking face, slug him. Kick him in the balls. You do not
let... How old, though? How old?
Probably around 10, 12. I'm like, you don't let these little motherfuckers push you around, or they don't stop. In my day, if they got to push you around once, they knew he ain't going to fight back. He's an easy target. You got to take these motherfuckers, crush one of their testicles, and then when they get out of the hospital, they're not going to be fucking with you again.
You're talking about kids, though, and I know that, you know, the world's a different place and kids and bullying has gotten a lot worse. I mean,
back in my day, Jillian.
Back in my day, we just cried in a corner and turned into emo a few years later. I understand that. I get it. I was immensely bullied when I was a kid, so I get it. But you do have to respect the rules of the school. You know, if that's a thing where it's like, if you participate in a fight, you're getting in trouble, then you as a parent, if you're standing by that, whatever, if you get in a fight, you fight back, then you have to be prepared that that kid may get a detention as well, or that kid may get suspended even though they didn't start it.
Oh, because I'm fair. No, I'm fair with that. I'm all right with that. I'm like, yeah.
Because okay, these parents were just outrageously pissed. Be like, you're not going to punish my kid. They didn't do anything wrong. It's like, He got in a fight with another kid. So it's one
but,
of those.
But Jillian, these are the same kind of parents that I think the term is helicopter parents. The ones that, and I'm going to use this term in a non-joking way. Back in my day, if I got bad grades, it was my fault. Nowadays, if a kid gets bad grades, it's the teacher's fault.
Yep.
That is fucking bullshit. These are helicopter parents that don't want to take responsibility for raising their own kids. They say, at 8 a.m. when I drop your fucking ass off until 3 p.m., you're not my problem. You're their problem, and they have to parent you. That is such bullshit.
Or when I was a kid, you know, you'd go outside and you play on the playground and you make little like flower bracelets out of what you thought were flowers, but they were dandelions. And, you know, you give them to the teacher. And I mean, when you're little, of course, a lot of times you like teachers and then attitudes have just changed. It's, oh, you're a bitch. You're giving me homework and I can't watch cartoons for 10 hours a day like my parents let me. So it's one of those, you know, you would give the teacher things. And so they don't think anything of taking, you know, a cupcake or things like that. And now teachers are going to be like, I'm not touching your food. No outside food allowed on my desk. And then you also have to look at the fact, okay, this was in her coffee. So not only did they bring rat poison to school, went somehow and put it in her coffee that was on her desk. So that's just another, I would be fucking paranoid. I almost went into teaching. I was going to be an art teacher. And then I realized I liked art more than teaching little kids.
I don't know if you would have been a great teacher. I think you are way too smart to be a teacher.
Okay, that doesn't make sense because
yes,
teachers know a lot of shit. Dude, in the last episode, I couldn't even remember the name of that artist that did the peeing Jesus.
But no, because most teachers nowadays, they get everything out of the book. It's like that Simpsons episode where they stole the teacher's answer key.
Yeah.
And the teachers were, oh my God, does anyone know what year Vietnam ended? And that's what it's really like.
What was the war, 1776?
Yeah. You know, that's what it's like nowadays. The teachers don't know the information. They have a book that tells them all the information.
Again,
I'm going to be non-ironic. Back in my day, I had teachers, social studies, history and that. I had a history teacher that he rarely went back to that book. He seemed to have known all this shit he was teaching us. You know, he was being a teacher.
Yeah, I mean, we had teachers that would go to the books, but it was one of those things, double-checking type thing, because especially when you get into algebra, things like that, if you're not, you know, and you've got so many kids. But in grade school, I mean, it would be one of the issues where you get a paper back and they would later the next day be like, oh, I saw a grading error. I should look at my book more, you know, things like that. But now it's just so dependent upon that. I mean, they have those little surveys that they do for TV works and they'll just run the street and ask people things. And that's kind of how, you know, then Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader came about. And some of these things, I'm like, really? You don't know how many fucking stars are on the American flag? I'm just baffled. And I will agree, I'm not the greatest at staying up on politician names, things like that. But there's certain basics that you learn through school that you should know. I mean, not everybody goes to college, fine. But like geography, I suck at geography. But back in school, you had to take those tests where you had all of the countries and, you know, you had to name, you know, all of the countries in Africa and, you know, just every continent.
That's asking too much. I saw there was a video posted recently called Lunchtime Scholars.
Wait, where, you think I should be able to name all of the countries in every continent?
Depends on when you were last taught that. I'm saying when you're in high school, You should
know
this stuff. Because there was a recent video.
I don't remember, but these are adults that, like.
Jillian, there was a recent video put out on YouTube called Lunchtime Scholars, where another student went to a bunch of other students and asked them pretty common questions. Can you name a country that starts with U?
Uganda.
Not one of them thought of United
Uruguay.
States.
Oh, see, I was thinking other than United States.
You know, these were kids that were literally asked, how many stars are on the flag? 51, one for each state. They were asked, who's the president of the United States? People would go, Joe Biden, and isn't George Bush the vice president? And you just kept going, oh, my God. You know,
wow.
And these are seniors in high school, and they know nothing. Yet I bet they can recite the lyrics to all of their favorite songs. I bet they could. I bet they've all read Twilight five times, but they don't know who the president of their own fucking country is. That makes me weep for our future.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. Like I said, with the "Are you smarter than a fifth grader?" thing, some of those people just shocked me with certain things they didn't know. Somebody didn't know the like what the stripes, you know, stood for on the flags, things like that. But the other things, I mean, like I said, there were things when I was in grade school that they teach you, like I said, like knowing all of the countries and the continents that I don't fucking remember now. But when you're asked very basic things, it's just shocking what people don't know nowadays.
Yeah,
and everybody
there's common sense. There's that one screen cap from an early Who Wants to Be a Millionaire on there where it said, what weighs more? One was the moon and one was an elephant. And she chose an elephant weighing more than the moon.
Well, there's no gravity in space.
The moon has mass, and therefore it has weight.
No way, man. Everything is weightless. And the cow jumps over the moon, so the elephant is irrelevant. And that rhymed.
But yeah, it's because the dish ran away with the spoon.
And spooning leads to forking.
And forking leads to babies, which leads to kids going to school. And so we come full
circle.
Which leads
to dumbass adults that don't know anything. What the fuck?
And we have to end this segment. So.
Oh my God, I'm old. I get my next month, less than a month from now, 25th is my birthday, I get my Logan's Run jewel. I'm going to actually liquid latex a jewel onto me because it's my Logan's Run birthday because I'll be 30.
And you know what the sad part is? I bet
probably nobody gets that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know how much of our listenership right now I had to go Google Logan's Run.
Go Google Logan's Run. It's a great old sci-fi movie, and essentially,
and you get to see Jenny Agutter's boobs in it. Oh my God, is Jenny Agutter gorgeous
in
that?
In this universe, no one is allowed to live past 30, and they did a spoof of it on Family Guy, actually, when Brian was getting older. And when you turn 30, when you're getting your 30th birthday, your jewel goes out, and then it's what was it, like the rebirthing or something like that? But they're actually just murdering you, but they think they're being reborn. And so the whole thing, that's why if you've ever heard the term run, runner, that's from Logan's Run, because he finds out the conspiracy and that they're actually just being murdered so everybody's young. So the conspiracy gets found out and he gets chased by the whatever. It's been years since I've seen it, but I fucking love that movie.
He gets chased by his best friend. And then the movie also has a very young Farrah Fawcett in it and Jenny Agutter, who's just gorgeous in that movie.
I always wanted to get a pet ferret and then name it Fawcett. So it'd be Ferret Fawcett.
I always thought you would get two ferrets and name them Kodo and Podo.
I don't get that.
Beastmaster?
Haven't seen it.
We're ending this segment. Good. We'll be back.
A lusty epic of revenge, dungeons, wizards, damsels, desire, and a warrior caught between. The Sword and the Sorcerer, rated R, under 17, must be accompanied by parent.
What is tonight's rage brought to you by? Is your usual Jack and Coke?
Oh, no, tonight's rage is brought to you by Pinot Evil. That's right, the red wine that keeps on giving. Pinot Evil.
We're going to follow up a little bit on last week. Internet thugs thinking they're tough guys who can hide behind IP addresses. It's been a quiet week, but we have gotten quite a nice response to our segment last week. A lot of people siding with us. I haven't got one dissenting person that said, wow, those two deserve to get cock pictures and stalked.
Well, you know, it's more than that. When you talk about the words rape and you say you want to see somebody have the hate raped out of them, we do live in a day and age where we get stalkers and, you know, and violence happens. And sometimes on our end of the table, you know, when I do a comic book called Kill Image and I publish a comic book where I kill the founders of Image and I put it out there and I put it on the table, it's tongue in cheek, it's funny, it's ha ha. Everybody knows my name. Everybody knows where I live. I'm not hiding behind anything. I'm not trying to say, yeah, I'm here. I'm going to kill them. I'm not trying to scare them. I'm just trying to do a funny comic book. But you know what? That comic book did scare the crap out of the wives of the creators at Image. Rob Liefeld's wife was terrified. She thought I was going to come kill them. Todd McFarlane's wife was terrified. They thought I was going to come kill them. And it's funny how, where is that line? You know, where is the line? And that's the trip of trying to figure it out. And we, behind the microphones and we being in front of the camera, it's hard for us to figure out who's being funny and who the fuck is stalking me now. Because violence and threats happen to public people in the public eye on a regular basis. Part of my career, I've had stalkers. I've had my home robbed because of the sloppiness of the media, broadcasting on the news that I was out of town at a Fangoria horror convention. Thanks, guys. And then the news crew from CBS came and found my door kicked in, so they broadcast that on the air before I even knew my house was robbed. It's a weird shifting line in the sands, and I'm actually kind of glad that the fans, they kind of know where it's too much, you know. Like you said, you had these cock pictures sent to your house, and your child saw them. You know, that's not cool.
There's also a difference between what you did with Image. You're a public figure making fun and saying that to another public figure. It's not like you're some little guy hiding in the shadows threatening some big public figure. It'd be different if you didn't know the Image guys, if you were a nobody when you printed that, and it was, who the fuck is this Hart Fisher guy threatening us? You were known. People knew you, and they knew it was a joke.
And it was meant to be a joke. You know, I didn't really want to go kill those guys. I just thought it was funny.
I thought it was funny. I thought Kill Rush Limbaugh was funny. And especially with what's going on with him, it's even funnier in a different context now.
Well, you know, the Rush Limbaugh Must Die comic book, Rush gave me the thumbs up on the air.
Oh,
on
good.
His TV show, he gave the comic book a thumbs up. And conversely, the funny thing is the Howard Stern versus Rush Limbaugh book, Howard was very upset and he was offended by it.
There's that new documentary coming out on Rock and Roll Comics where Axl Rose was just incensed that they would dare do a Guns N' Roses comic book, whereas you had people like Ice-T that went, cool, I'm totally behind this. As long as I get to pick who draws it, I'll give you the information. I'll help you. You know, you had
cool
people
like that. Yeah,
it's funny,
you know, some people are more progressive than others. I actually had reached out to try to talk to Ice-T about doing a cop killer comic at the time of the controversy. But, you know, he wanted to put a lid on it and move forward with his career.
That's the only thing I really didn't think he should have backed off the cop killer thing. In all honesty, I think he should have fought that because I think that was a true free speech issue, and he was in the right initially. I don't think he should have
I do think he's in the right. I don't see anything wrong with the song at all. Actually, it's a kick-ass fucking scary metal song. You know, it's very good. I liked Body Count. But, you know, the thing is about that you got to understand is he's dealing with a lot of threats with violence from authority figures. He was dealing with the largest gang in America, the Gang in Blue. I'm a big fan of the police, but if you piss off some of the nastier members of them, it could be a very scary day for you.
I actually think he was the target of an even bigger thug group, and that was the NRA. Remember Charlton Heston? So the NRA actually has a lot more power than the cops do when you really think across the whole country.
I think it was much more about his concern for the physical safety of his family than anything else. I believe that was the tipping point. When I did the stuff that I did, I was a single man. And now that I'm married and I have a wife, and I've lost a loved one to violence. I've lost loved ones to violence. It's not an unknown factor to me in my life. Okay. So violence is very real to me in my life. I used to have some scary stalkers. I used to have people dropping by my house, strangers to buy Dahmer books when I'm eating Cheerios in the morning, you know, because everybody knew where I lived. There was no hiding. Everybody knew who I was and what I was about and what I was doing. There were people who would cross the street to not be on the same side of the street as me because I was the bad guy, evil Dahmer guy. And it's funny how things change and shift. You know, perspectives change, society changes. And also this media machine, you know, you said that you talked about my comic, The Kill Image, being all right because I was a public figure, poking fun at another public figure, kind of like Saturday Night Live making spoofs. Nobody thinks that Eddie Murphy's spoof is going to go and kill the guy.
Back when I worked at Channel 2 out of Green Bay, it was the ABC affiliate. you don't know when people are serious. There was signs and pictures of this one guy all over the building. I'm not going to say the anchor's name because I actually liked her. This guy had been calling her. God had told him they were to have a baby together. And well, so there were all these photos of his car and him and said, this man, if you see him, call the police immediately. Every night she had to be walked out to her car by a male member of the staff because we did not know what this guy was going to do.
Well, a crazy guy tried to kill Danzig. That's part of why Glenn moved. Glenn doesn't live in his old house anymore. It's his office. It was put on German tour guides for the 25 most scary places in L.A. Hilarious. So damn funny. And so this dude came and tried to climb the fence to kill Glenn. He had a whole diary of how he was supposed to kill Glenn to save the world. And, you know, as we as public figures, you know, we meet fans all the time. I have people come up to me all the time. They're strangers. I don't know them. You never know when that smiling face has got a knife in his coat. You never know when they're holding a pistol. I've been ambushed plenty of times by people that come up smiling. Hey, Mr. Fisher, hey, I'm a big, big fan. I just want to come up to say, fuck you, man. You suck.
Harlan Ellison related the story. I think it was Isaac Asimov. Somebody, I mean, first of all, how can you hate Isaac Asimov, right?
Well, gee, he's smart and he's a scientist. I can see how stupid people that want to push their goddamn religions down everybody's throat might want to hurt somebody like that. Well, but that's another rant for another day.
What happened was, like I said, I think it was Asimov. I might be confusing the figure here. Somebody came up to the guy at a convention and said, are you so-and-so? And when he said yes, they threw a cup of fresh vomit in their face and ran away. And they said, hope you like it. And you have to wonder what the hell goes through somebody's head. Because you have to take the pre-thought to puke in the cup and then go and meet the person, pretend to be nice, to throw vomit in their face. And
I was having dinner at a pizza place in Detroit. I was there with Dimitri Patelis, a Greek artist I've worked with and a good friend. And Dimitri and I were there after a Detroit comic convention and we're eating our pizza. And I'm wearing a Rush Limbaugh Must Die t-shirt. This old man comes up and he says, hi, I wanted to say, I'm glad that you're wearing that shirt. And I said, okay. Do you think it's funny? Are you a fan? Oh, no, I'm glad that you wear that shirt, so now I know who the enemy is. And he gave me a nasty look, and then he walked away.
That's the thing. You never know. So I did have a few, not like listeners, but, you know, a few of my family members and that say just kind of, you know, suck it up with the cock pictures and stuff. And, you know, it's all part of fun. Just take it in stride. But then that's the point. You don't know which one of them is just a guy who thinks he's being funny by sending cock pictures. And then the guy who might actually come to my house. Yeah, a guy that might come to my house and stab me.
I was threatened by an ex-convict who said that he wanted to teach me what it was like to be in prison so I'd have more respect. What the fuck are you talking about? I did a comic book about a serial killer who was a douchebag so I could show what a douchebag he was because he's being glossed over in the media. Ex-con, and I memorized that motherfucker's face, let me tell you, telling me as he stood up on TV to discuss his wish to show me, basically tell me he wanted me to make me his prison bitch. Yeah, I remembered that fucking face. And that was part and parcel of what I was dealing with. I used to carry a gun. You know, when I was running Boneyard Press in the heyday of all this, I carried a gun all the time. I know it's not legal. I don't do it now. But back then, fuck yeah, I had a gun all the time.
Well, and then like you pointed out, you're married now. So you've got someone else to think about, not just your own safety at this point.
I've already walked away from a major plagiarism lawsuit because I don't think that it's worth what it would do to my wife's health. My wife is recovering from cancer, and I called a major rock star on his plagiarism, and their band changed their musical direction after this. And I have a federal copyright attorney on staff. Walked away from the entire lawsuit basically because it would fuck up my wife's health, because when I first broached this subject, I got about 2,000-3,000 hate emails from all the fans. He turned the fans loose on me. So while she was recovering from her cancer and her chemo and the radiation treatments and she's stripped down to the bone, she's reading all this horrible hate mail. I couldn't get her to stop. All these postings and all this nastiness on my blog. And I'm the guy who got fucked. I'm the guy who got ripped off. They were just nasty. You know, I have an electrical burn on my mouth. I rode the lightning before I was 1 year old. I shouldn't be alive today. And so half my mouth was seared off. I had to have reconstructive surgery to have the mouth that I have today. Talking on and on about my herpes infestation, you know, and there's my wife, you know, a skeleton reading all this hate. And I just had to walk away from the whole thing because it was going to damage her health. I've had to make a lot of changes in my life after my wife's cancer because cancer is stress related. Anybody out there, anybody who has it, get your peace of mind, cut loose the parasites in your life. Number one, cancer treatment, get rid of those friends who ain't friends. Get rid of them now. You'll live a lot longer. And I made a lot of changes in my life to hurt her less. You know, I used to be a lot more ambitious in my First Amendment battles, but these things stressed her out and she's ill. She's recovering. She's doing pretty good now. It's been 5 years. We made it through the big barrier points. But, you know, when you're talking about cancer, you're talking about a lifetime change. And so I have this issue with my history and what I do and trying to make a home for my wife. It's a delicate balance that you walk as a public figure and a caustic public figure. I am a caustic figure. I know I have caused a lot of my own trouble, and now I endeavor not to cause my own trouble.
There's the people out there. You don't know which ones of them are just joking and which ones are going to fall in love with the local TV news anchor and somehow think that it's your job to impregnate her. You don't know who are the psychos and who are just people that I really don't like you kind of people.
I met a girl at a comic convention back in Chicago, and she was cool, and it was fun hanging out with her at the show, you know, and the next thing you know, she's stalking me and telling me how her female biker gang friends are going to chloroform me and kidnap me. Bring it on, man, because back then I was solo and ready to fucking rock and roll. I'm like, bring it, baby.
But
bring
it,
motherfucker. I can smell chloroform a long way away.
But
now when
people
make threats like that, I got a wife. It's different for me now.
Now, even if you changed your phone number, you changed your name, you had your address removed from any kind of public record, people can find you today. You know, if they're determined to find you, they will.
Yeah,
that's scary.
You know, anybody who thinks they're hiding, dude, you can find anybody.
It goes the other way. All you little anonymous internet threaders, if I really want to, I can find you, sons of bitches. And here's the thing it comes down to.
Well, that's the funny thing is like at American Horrors, I've got an internet team. I've got a whole interactive team, and that's their job. If I've got a guy who wants to talk to me about financing filmmaking, I turn it over to the security team, and they check him out to make sure he really has the money he says he has. If there's somebody making threats online, well, we check out the IP addresses. Hey, folks, hey, all you tough guys, hey, all you anonymous punks, you're not anonymous. Everything you do on the web is tracked. Have some press guy hack in their account and you find out what Gene Simmons jacks off to on the internet at night. They know where you're going on these porn sites, guys. They know what you're doing. There's a record. The government's keeping track. Google's keeping track. They're keeping track of everything.
They're going to find out about the fat chick porn that I go to? No, Hart, tell me no.
Yeah, your hog wild days are over, buddy.
Damn it. Well, I've actually admitted that on the show numerous times, so that's not like a big plot reveal there.
I gotta take out the butt plugs and wash them up and burn them. I mean, they'll check your credit card receipts. You ever watch like these crime shows like Castle, and all of a sudden they're checking the dude, tracking him by his every credit card purchase. You're tracked by your cell phone, your credit card, everything, baby, everything. Nothing's anonymous anymore, folks. If you wanna be if somebody wants to find you. You want to be Mr. Tough Guy on the web, and you want to make threats, and you think you're going to be better than the Unabomber who hid in a shack in the woods? They found a dude in a shack in the woods. They'll find you, you prick. It's just a matter of how bad somebody wants to find you, because it's all right there. And that's what I love about these typewriter warriors on the web. The internet has bred this whole new generation of pseudo-typewriter tough guys. A friend of mine, Craig, he calls them armchair Napoleons. Think that they're safe.
You run a TV channel, right?
That's correct. At American Horrors, you know, we keep track of who's watching. Well, I mean, we can't keep track of everything you're doing right now. We're on filmon.com. You can watch us free right now if you've got a Filmon app for your iPhone, your iPad, or your Android.
And American Horrors is also the most kick-ass, uncut horror channel you can find. You think Chiller's good? Chiller's shit. Go to American
Chiller
Horrors.
Chiller sucks my dick, man. Fuck Chiller. We tell it like it is, and we love what we do. We've got some of the best original horror. You know, we've got these amazing collection of shorts. We don't just have one short and run it to death. We've got Apathy Breeds Contempt, Freaktard, The Ninth Circle, This Side of Nightmare, Shadows, The Procedure, Night of the Vampire, Worm, The Room, Vampires, Werewolves, The Night Caller, Kiss Your Ass Goodbye, which is made by a film student who got kicked out of film school because he wouldn't do what the film instructor wanted to do. Well, fuck you, buddy. His shit's on American Horrors, and he talks about what happened and how they tried to power trip him. Because people are always trying to power trip you. People are always trying to make themselves seem more powerful than they are. Because I could rant all day about all the awesome stuff on American Horrors. I mean, we show short horror films. We show uncut music videos. And, hey, guys, starting next Sunday, not tomorrow, we got the uncut Juju Bone video from Danzig. It's his brand new video, and we've got the uncut, raunchy as fuck version that Glenn forced. He's like, you got to play this on your channel. And I'm like, of course I'm going to play this on channel, Mr. Danzig, sir. So it's on. It's not on YouTube. You can't find it online. It's the going to be the world premiere of the uncut Juju Bone video on Satanic Sundays on American Horror a week from this Sunday.
And then do we have an update on the Marvel Can Still Suck My Cock shirts? Is it still just PR?
That's correct. I've got a printer in line. The shirts are going to be $19.95. We're going to have the link up at AmericanHorrors.com by the time you guys hear this. I hope when the tech guys over in our staff, we feel the shirts are awesome. They're going to be great. They're going to be vinyl printing, not silk screen, so they're going to last forever. They're going to be $19.95, and that's going to include shipping. And we're going to be donating the profits to the creator of Ghost Rider to help him offset his legal fees dealing with the Marvel fucking him up on Ghost Rider.
The Marvel Mouse, as it is now.
That's correct. The Marvel Mouse that roared.
All right.
And I am the only creator in comics that I know of who's kicked Marvel's ass in court over trademark and copyright infringement over my title, Dark Angel.
So next week we will be back with Hart Fisher and another heart attack, and it'll be a slightly political one.
Yeah, it's going to be real political. You know, we defeated this SOPA and PIPA internet stranglehold laws that they tried to ram through, and now John McCain is at it again with more bills that's going to allow the military to snoop on every American civilian. Well, you know what? In America, the military is not supposed to be fucking around with civilians. In America, we have a thing called the National Guard, and they're supposed to guard our shores. So we'll talk about that next time.
To be continued.
Dun, dun, dun!
That is an incredible motion picture. An entire town goes berserk when a giant underwater creature attacks all human life. That is a frightening experience. Don't miss that.
All right, so Jillian, you brought me another story. This one, I mean, it's still kind of funny, but it's in this another one of those, oh my God, I cannot believe this is actually a controversy kind of funny.
Really?
Yeah, it's another one of those.
And I'd like to point out that Josh deleted and then re-recorded over the fact that he tried to call me out and say that I dominated the stories
last week.
He picked both Laptop Dad and the porn story. So I didn't get a story last week, so that's why both the stories are mine.
Hey, Laptop Dad was a follow-up, and the porn one was supposed to be on the week prior, but we ran out of time.
Just saying, you've been dominating, and you tried to call me out, and then you discovered you were wrong, and you tried to hide it.
And who knows how much of this will make it into the final edit. Continue with Barbie.
Okay, so essentially, there is a new Barbie out, and of course is causing controversy.
It seems every Barbie nowadays they put out does.
Which is ironic, because you think Barbie and herself, and this is a whole nother story that goes back to one of the first episodes we did about women figures, Barbie is very non-proportional, correctly, for little girls to be playing with. And, you know, there's the whole standard of, you know, unrealistic standards set for girls to live up to. And essentially, for those of you who don't know, if a real woman had the measurements of a Barbie, she would be a hunchback because then her waist, like, wouldn't support the weight and she'd be
I want to see Trailer Trash Barbie, where she's got a big tattoo on her arm, a cigarette hanging out of her mouth, she's got the blonde dye jobs ends coming up, she's got like a bullet wound in her ass.
Well, we talked about
and she's got like a C-section scar.
Surgery Barbie.
Yeah, and she's got like a C-section scar. I want to see Trailer Trash Barbie. I'd actually buy one of those just for shits and giggles.
Well, anyway, we're going somewhat off topic. Okay, so this Barbie is it's made by Tokidoki, but it's still in correlation with Mattel. Tokidoki is essentially a company. They release calendars, products, and it's very kind of, it's not necessarily anime, but it's kind of that anime pop type stuff. I guess without, you know, completely researching it off the top of my brain. But it's just, if you've ever seen, you know, the calendars with the Asian chicks and all of the Tokyo stuff going on in the background, and they usually have little animals dressed up as other animals. They have, like, the puppy in the cactus suit, things like that. It's really cute. And essentially, Mattel, they're not selling the Barbie in stores. It's a special collector's edition because you've got a lot of adults that will collect the Barbies. Of course, you know, cost like $200 that you don't give to fucking kids. And so this is one of those Barbies. You get it online, but parents are still in a tizzy because, wait for it, the Barbie has pink hair and tattoos. Christian Science monitors are saying that because it's decked out in tattoos, it's a bad influence on children and it's such a, you know, taboo, blah, 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 blah. It's like, you know, if that is your concern, I really think that a kid playing with Barbies is gonna stop looking towards what Barbie does style-wise by the time they're 18 and old enough to get a tattoo.
Also, because Christians don't, and I've never seen a Christian with a tattoo before, have you?
That's the biggest thing, too. I remember that one picture where it was a Christian, and they had, and I forget, oh, God, sorry, it's midnight, guys, midnight 30. They had that scripture of about, shall not lie another man, something like that. And then there was a poster, or not poster, a picture of the other scripture that talks about, that was essentially where people quote where you shouldn't get tattoos from the Bible, where, oh my God, I can't think. But anyway, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. So, yeah, essentially, I guess tattoos are morally wrong because it's defiling your body and this and that, but come on, people. Oh, and because it has pink hair, that's unnatural. Never mind all of the 60 or however old Christians that I'm sure aren't all gray. I was in church as a kid, and I saw quite a few pretty old people who weren't all like gray and white haired. So if you're going to say that dyeing your hair is wrong, hypocrites. Anyway, so they're not only bitching about the tattoos, they're bitching about the pink hair. It's like, really? The thing with the tattoos is the tattoos are actually a lot of the Tokidoki artwork. If you don't know about Tokidoki, actually check them out. They've got a lot of really cool stuff if that's your thing. Like I said, Callum got plushies, shirts, like all just kind of memorabilia, backpacks, purses. So the Barbie has Tokidoki artwork tattoos on her. And I don't collect Barbies. I'm not one of those people, but I'm kind of like, I could actually kind of dig that, but I just can't bring myself to owning a Barbie at this age. So I just think it's ridiculous because they're getting all in this hubbub, and it's like, you know, if it wasn't newsworthy, the kids wouldn't even fucking know it existed. It's not sold in stores. It's not being advertised. It's something.
But you got to remember, no, and I agree with you on that, that they're bringing attention to something that they want to make go away, which is kind of an oxymoron. But it also comes down to, you got to remember, these are people whose sole job is to look for things on TV, radio, in books, in magazines, in comics, and online to find something to get offended about.
Yeah, like there's even a quote here. It doesn't matter if it's not for kids. It's out there. The argument that you'll get from the toy companies is, oh, it's for adults. But those companies need to know what parents' concerns are. It's like, yes, thank you for speaking for all parents. I know so many things that are out there that kids want, and parents are like, no, you're not getting that. That's all you got to do. I mean, tattoos are out there. This is not a new thing that Barbie just invented to where kids are going to be like, oh, what's that? I want it. There's tattoos all over the place. So, and you can't tell me your kid's never going to be exposed to tattoos sans this Barbie. They're going to know they're out there. And just the fact that there's a Barbie with one, really?
There's a Smurf with a tattoo. Remember Hefty?
Yes.
Hefty has a tattoo.
Did they CGI that out for the new one or something?
I don't know. I'm talking the old cartoon from when I grew up. I remember that was that was controversial then. Oh my God, he's showing a tattoo. And then, you know, all these, I mean, even kids shows, live action kids shows, like the Mario Brothers and that. You know, there was an episode of the Super Mario show where the Mario got a tattoo. And people, oh my God, that's, okay, guys, kids are going to want to get a tattoo. Why do you think they sell those temporary tattoos in those little egg things at the front of the grocery store?
Yeah.
Kids love that shit. If you hide this from them, You are ignoring your responsibility as an adult to educate them onto why it might be a bad idea to get a tattoo.
Hey, I got tattoos.
Did you get one when you were underage?
No, I was 22, I believe.
Then you were well enough informed that you knew what you were doing.
See, but that's the thing, is kids, they're not going to get a tattoo unless they have parental permission. And if you're worried that your kid's Barbie is going to inspire them for the next years and they're going to hold on to that, can't wait till I'm 18, I'm going to get a tattoo. I can't wait till I'm 18, I'm going to get a tattoo. That's bullshit. And you know what? A lot of these suppressed kids, and I've seen them because I have multiple tattoos and I have piercings, and I've seen these little dingbats at the tattoo shop. And it's literally, they go in with their, you know, friend or aunt or whatever it be, their friend's getting a tattoo. And I swear, I am not joking. This actually happened. One of these dingbats was like, you know what? I think I should get a tattoo. And flip through the books. Butterfly. I'm like, really? It's like, I toil over like what I should get stuck on me forever. And you're just going to pick it out of a book and stick it on you. That is just, be fucking educated. And I will admit, you know, I've said before, my mom's a church lady. She was not pleased when I started getting tattoos and piercings. I believe she didn't talk to me for like 2 months when I first got my piercing, and just communicated through me through email with like dental and, you know, all these articles of why piercings and tattoos are bad. But I had informed myself and I was well aware of all of the risks, things to do, things to not do. I researched the places that I got them at. You know, I wasn't one of those, oh, so-and-so is doing an apprenticeship and, you know, we can get a free tattoo. Let's go. Brad doesn't have any tattoos and he is considering, you know, getting one sometime. And I've told him, I'm like, cool, great, but you get what you pay for. I was like, don't get it somewhere else just because it's cheaper. I was like, this is going to be on you forever. You know, you get what you pay for. You're going to my guy. Yes, I have a guy.
Well, the way I look at it is tattoos, you know, I'm looking at this as a man finding a woman attractive with tattoos. They can be if they're done right. Personally, I find fat women with like a butterfly tattoo on their tit. That's very alluring. I like that a lot.
I don't
it's
like
very
tit
sexy.
Tattoos.
I call them tattoos.
I don't like tit tattoos. I think they're gross.
I think tattoos are very attractive, and if they're done right and the woman's got really big titties, that can really be good. A tramp stamp, not really all that sexy, girls. It just...
I don't like tit tattoos. To me, cleavage is sexy enough. I remember when I got my first tattoo, and I do have a tramp stamp, but I created it myself because I graduated in graphic design, and so I essentially created it, and they stuck it on me. So that I don't feel guilty about. These people who are getting, you know, butterflies or I just want a cherry here and just pick something out of a book, it's got to mean something to you. You know, I think the only thing on me that does necessarily have a meaning is the star outline on my wrist. And I essentially got that because I was like, I don't know anything else I would get on my wrist. I've loved stars since I was little and I color it in with whatever I'm wearing. And sometimes I make it a Mario star. So it's kind of a functional tattoo and it changes. It's not just something stuck on me. And then I've got a Legend of Zelda tattoo on my ankle that's a little bit more unique than anybody else has. I have a Celtic wedding knot on the back of my neck, and then the design of a Celtic triquetra with three tribal dragons going around it with a design that kind of looks like tribal wings coming out from that.
I still think fat women with tit tattoos are very attractive.
See, cleavage is so sexy. Before I got my first tattoo,
but
I was looking in the mirror beforewards, and I'm like, oh, naked skin is so sexy. Do I really want to do this? And even before I'll get a tattoo, I will draw it on myself if I can. My wrist tattoo and my ankle tattoo, I actually drew in the Zelda crest and the design I wanted around it. And I did that for, I think, 3 months. I just kept drawing on myself with Sharpie, to the point where it can have that stuck on me forever. You know, I've been a Zelda fan since the first game came out. Nothing I have on me, I'm going to look back and be like, oh, I shouldn't have gotten that. But I know people that have gotten huge ass just on a whim, because I know, because I was there, you know, huge ass, oh, I want to get a tattoo on my shoulder of a giant ass flower. And then it looks like crap. And it's like, you know, what are you going to do when somebody comes up to you and be like, oh, that's pretty. I mean, what does it mean? Oh, I just wanted a flower. It's like, okay. You know, and then people who get these giant tattoos of just one thing on a whim, and it's like, you know, I love tattoos. I'm probably not going to get so many more because I'm not into the whole sleeves and things like that, and I don't know where else I would want it. So that as an artist, I look at a body like a canvas, and if you are doing sleeves, great. That's just not something I want on myself personally. So where I have my tattoos positioned, I'm like, I don't know what else I could get where else that wouldn't be weird. So I do have an add-on that I'm going to get once I lose more weight, but I don't know if that'll ever happen. But okay, I think that'll be my other tattoo I would get.
The thing with me is I have OCD. I have legitimately diagnosed OCD. So if I got a tattoo, say, on my bicep, in a month, it would drive me nuts because I'd want it like an inch higher or an inch more to the left. It would drive me nuts to not be able to move that piece of art. So I don't have any tattoos because they would drive me into an asylum if I got one.
I forget half the time, honestly, and I'm not joking. I forget that I have the neck tattoo. I'll see footage of something on the site. I'm like, oh yeah, that's there, because I don't ever see the back of my neck. But it was just, I really like the Celtic work, and I really, shortly after Brad and I got married, I got a Celtic knot on the back of my neck, which I kind of did to prevent also another disaster that may have happened, because I just always thought it would have been the coolest idea to get my neck pierced and then have a tattoo and have the eyes of the dragon be the piercing and have it like glow in the dark and shit.
But
I was like, well, that was another thing too. It was like a Celtic wedding knot. If you've seen it, it's mostly circular. Some of them are slightly oblonged. And I'm like, where could I put that on myself? Because I didn't want to do the little stomach tattoo, like when you go tanning and they have little teeny stomach peekaboo tattoos. I'm like, everybody's got that. Tramp stamp is just, to me, the tramp stamp area is probably the best area in a girl's back that you can do a somewhat wide piece of work. To me, skin is still sexy, so I don't want things all over my shoulder blades. And, you know, there's that balance of what to show where, in my opinion. I'm not saying that all, you know, if you have a shoulder tattoo, it's nasty, but I've known people with certain tattoos in certain places or tattoos that did not come out right because they didn't plan ahead, they didn't research who they were going through, or they just did it on a whim, and then they want something that means something, and they're like, oh, well, I should get this here. And I'm like, that's really going to look awkward because you have this big thing right there, and then you're going to have this right next to it. It's not going to, you know, look good together unless you've got three other things coming down from it.
Still.
So it's one of those, if you're going to get tattoos, plan ahead. Think about maybe how many tattoos you want to get. Look at yourself as a canvas. If you're going to get into tattoos, some people have one and they're like, never again. Other people get one and they're like, oh, it's cool. I may or may not get one. And then other people get addicted to it. I'm in the case that I would love to have more. There's others that I could see myself having, but I look at it as artistically wise, aesthetically, like how it would look all together.
Right. And we're going to have to end on that note, unfortunately.
Oh, but I love tattoos. Oh, wait, hold it. And also, what pissed off my mom when I got a tattoo is there was some thing in college that we had to write a paper for, and I essentially did, like, the history of tattooing and the dangers and, like, all of this information about it, so she knew that I was knowledgeable about it. And it was funny because she did the same thing with piercings, and there was all this history. I'm like, oh, they did this and this and this. So it kind of, not able to say too much negatively towards me for that for a while.
How dare you use logic in an emotional argument?
Fie!
Where can we find JJ?
JJ is on Twitter as Mrs. JZ Jones. I am on Facebook as Jillian Zarowski Jones. You can get me by just typing in Jillian Jones, but with the one with the Polish name afterwards. And also on thecinemasnob.com, which is my husband's site that I help out on and am in stuff on. I'm on the interwebs, just... I'm there. Find me.
And then you can find me at my new website, 1201beyond.com. And you can email me at 1201beyond@gmail.com. And I have my weekly column, Sanity is Razor Thin, at geekjuicemedia.com, which Jillian really likes that name.
And, I do.
And also at geekjuicemedia.com, you can find my old It Came From Beyond Midnight episodes, as well as some new ones coming up as soon as I ever get around to getting them edited.
Geek Juice with Josh Hadley.
On that note, good night.